Hello again, everybody. Welcome to Good to Know Shreveport Bossier. This is a podcast showcasing the good things happening around our community. My name is Jeff Beinfor. Over here to my right, this is my co-host, Paul Reeser, a local businessman. I call him the French fry guy. He's a member of the Committee of 100. Every podcast, we focus on topics and initiatives having a positive, a good impact on our community. New episodes are available every other Wednesday, and you can find Good to Know wherever you listen to your podcast. As always, Paul, the honors to introduce our special guest go to you.
Thanks, Jeff. I'll take that as a compliment. The fry guy.
The French fry guy.
French fry guy.
Don't short yourself.
That's right. So, speaking of business, which you weren't really, but that's what I'm thinking about. A lot of people think about, dream of starting their own business one day. But as soon as they start looking into it, it's difficult, it's expensive, and it just kind of stops at the dream. So I'm really excited about our guest today because he had a big dream and is actually making it come to fruition. Big dream to bring a big business here to Shreveport-Bossier, and it's actually happening.
Well, that's so cool. I had a big dream to work at a TV station. Actually, I wanted to own a TV station. That didn't happen.
You're halfway there.
You made your dream happen with all the French fries.
And then I sold the fries.
So get to our guests.
The big, big dream. I get to be on this podcast and talk to great people like our guests today. So a lot of people have heard there's a lot of buzz around this new golf entertainment complex that's been built in Bossier right now, Chasing Aces. And we have the CEO, founder, inventor of the whole thing.
Nice.
John Dudley. Come on, man. There he is.
Wow. Welcome. You lack personality, John. That's a problem.
It's kind of tough being up here with you icons of the Shreveport area.
Oh, man. Well, I appreciate it, and I thank you on my behalf, but you forget about him.
The retired fry guy. Small fries.
That's
small
what they call you, small fries.
Barstool Golf, I like it, man. You should be on that show with your personality.
I'll tell you what, I'm bad enough to be on there, because that's all I see is bad golfers, I'm telling you, day and fortnight.
Well, John, I mean, there's no short of enthusiasm on your point, and just tenacity is what made this thing happen. So it's going to be entertaining for people just to find out if they're interested in this new entertainment venue that's coming, but also inspiring, I think, for people who have a dream to start a business, because this is no small feat what you've done.
So that's the biggest thing that really gets to me when I started this process. You know, limited resources. I had an idea, and I've always been a driven person. Mm. My father talks about a story when I was a kid all the time about a red bike. And so my father was a pastor, and we had our own church when I was a child. And so every time that I spoke to him, it was about Jesus. That's the only conversation we would have as a child to an adult. And so he talks about the story all the time that I came to him and I says, "Dad, I want to talk to you, but I don't want to talk about God. I want to talk about a red bike." And so that was the first thing.
Rosebud.
Yeah.
I see a Christmas movie in the works. Yeah. We got something going on.
Yeah, it was the first thing in my life where I knew that once I got focused on something, that I wasn't going to let up on it. And went through just a little background on me. I've been in the architects my whole life. My dad started the Professional Denture Clinic in 1971. Wow. I've worked there since 1995, and I've owned it since 2012. So been in business for a long period of time. When I started this venture, I learned a lot more about being in business and being an entrepreneur. Coming from a family legacy business that was on a track that I had to maintain to keep moving forward, is way different than starting something from scratch.
Right.
So I go to this iconic resort called Whistling Straits.
What's the name again?
Whistling Straits.
Whistling Straits.
Yeah, it's the Kohler Resort in Wisconsin. They played the Ryder Cup there a few years ago.
Well, okay.
I played the course a month before the Ryder Cup happened.
Oh,
and
wow.
I don't know if y'all remember this, but Bryson DeChambeau drove the par 4 first green, and it's like 430 yards.
Okay.
And when I saw that on TV, I was like, holy because I was there. Yeah. I mean, I didn't even make it to the sand traps for, it wasn't even close, So it was,
That's what I was going to ask, if you made it to the green on your drive, not quite.
I didn't make it to the green on the third shot. So we go on this trip. I go with a couple buddies of mine, guy from Foresight Tractor. We go on this trip every year. And we get there, and our plane gets delayed on the way back. Very inspiring trip. But we got to play a little par three course there. And it was so different than any golf I'd ever played. There was loud music. It was like a tiki bar that was at the entrance. And, we were worried because there was eight of us. And so we were worried about being able to be teed off. And all, right. So, hey, all y'all go. You go ahead. So we played an eightsome. And it was just this different vibe.
Yeah.
And
I like the sound of that fun, just a fun, upbeat, kind of relaxed is what you're talking about.
Yeah, so the game of golf has changed.
It's a little too serious sometimes, a little golf clap, a little quiet.
It is, it's changing.
Something Mr. Bimeford would want to do.
Quit interrupting, I'm into the story.
I just want to get the vibe.
I'd like to
here.
Get to the
it's
finisher.
Not just your regular golfer here, this is fun golf.
Yeah, so the game's changing, our whole culture and society's changing. And so to move this sport forward, we're going to have to create an environment where it's more accepted to everybody and not put them in these boxes.
Well, look, all these, the purists, they're going to fight you on that. Like Live Golf and PGA, they've been fighting for 2 years now. And they're just playing traditional
golf. And you know what? That brings up a good point, because I don't care what they think. Because the people,
I don't either, really, but
the people of the world will dictate whether my idea is good or not, and I'm betting they will, because when you change the culture of something, it's going to start building or it's not. It's going to build, because I've been out there. No one wants, golf is long. There's so many rules. It takes you 5 hours to play on a Saturday. And it's very stiff.
It takes me even longer, but I get my money.
I have no doubt, and that's on the first hole.
So, you see the back nine. But so let's talk a little bit about what it is, because I've heard everybody's been confused. Everyone said, not everyone, but I talked to people that it's like Topgolf, and I'm like, well, no, I heard it was a par three, but oh no, it's both. So can you explain a little bit about this? It's a full entertainment venue, from what I understand.
So we're an entertainment company. We are creating an entertainment company. The product that we have at this point is golf, and we are venturing into other sports as well. And even at this facility, the second phase of this facility, we'll venture into other sports. Well, I don't really want to talk about that now.
Sure.
But what we have coming now is an entertainment driving range where you have like a dining setting, swing bays with interactive gameplay. And then we have a 9-hole smart course. This golf course, which is all par threes, is lidded, and there's a camera-based system that's connected to an AI regenerated software program that's proprietary to Chasing Aces. And then we also have a putting course, which is an 18-hole competitive putting course that we're looking at some really cool technology on too. To me, the gem of the whole thing will be the putting course, and the reason why is because anybody can do it, and it creates fun family environment, but it also creates a competitive for people that could not physically play, or you take seniors that were really good at golf, they're still great putters, but they can't hit the ball as far anymore, and it kind of discourages them. And so what we're looking at with our new business model is to take them from this entertainment driving range where they don't have to have this big barrier of financial entry point. So golf costs about $5,000 a year to play. So that takes out 95% of all of our population here in our area. We could get them on the entertainment driving range with no experience, no clubs, no balls, anything. You don't have to have anything. They just show up.
Right.
And they're able to start seeing the sport.
Is that going to be similar to the Topgolf? Is it two or three stories?
It's a multi-layered facility that has a sports bar, a banquet hall, a VIP dining experience, and also dining experience in the swing bays. And this is the point where you take the non-golfer and they hit a one or two good shots, and we mature them to the nine hole or the putting course.
Or you could just go out to dinner with friends and hit the ball. And like it gets worse as the night goes on.
But yeah.
We had one of these Topgolf where my son got married in Atlanta. And
I know that place.
You've been there.
Yeah.
From what I understand. Yeah. Half a mile from the hotel was a Topgolf.
Right.
Multi-level, the swinging. And it's so cool. And I mean, you couldn't find the groomsmen. Like, it's time for the rehearsal. We're out there all at the Topgolf. Every night after the wedding, they went to the Topgolf. People were living there, loving it. Just because it's so much fun. Like I said, there's music and anyone can do it. You can swing and a miss and it still kind of rolls off the edge and you still get a point.
So I've done a bunch of research on Topgolf and all the competitors of Topgolf. And what I wanted to do is, that is great. And they're always packed. Mm-hmm. And so what I did is I went and I looked at every single one-star review, every one of them. And that's how I started basing of how am I going to build this business model. Because obviously they have a fun environment that is a really great business model. And it's awesome. And I wanted to see how are we going to make this better. Because I can't come out and be a Topgolf because I'm going to lose. I have to create an offering that is so unique that they don't describe it as a Topgolf.
Okay.
And so the technology that we're bringing, the interactive that we're bringing, is going to be so different than anything that's been seen before. We have a lot of show lighting and laser. There's some really cool things that are interactive with not only the facility but the nine-hole course. And when I was looking at that model, the one thing that they can't do anything about is people are having to wait 2-3 hours
at
Topgolf.
Okay.
And that is a negative review, but really once they got in, most of the reviews, once they got to it, they had a good experience, but they wait. So I've created these different places for them to go when they get here. So if you're waiting to go to a swing bay and you have an hour wait, I can put you on the putting course.
Okay.
And if you're,
in a restaurant.
Or in the restaurant or in the sports bar.
Yeah.
And eventually on the go-kart tracks or the baseball.
Okay.
And the arcade. So those are things that are coming in the pipeline. Not in this first part of it, but the idea is to have different points where we can send this person while they're waiting, and we have an all-in-one app that keeps you up to date and alive. And a lot of what we're doing with the application is these kids, and we have to build a business that is not finite, and it has to be growing constantly. And I can't build it for me. I have to build it for the youth. And the youth are spending the majority of their time on the screen. They have so much screen time. So how do we penetrate that and get them to a physical activity?
Okay.
And so we're creating an all-in-one app that allows them to earn points to come to the facility to do a physical activity.
That's a good idea.
And there's a reward loop that's involved in that. And so not only are we getting to them a physical activity, but they're also achieving. Mm-hmm. And so there's several components to it that are building a business not just for today, but that's living, breathing, that's moving. And it has a lot of AI-generated components to it that allow it to keep growing.
Give me an example, like just if I'm on the putting course, how does the AI play into that?
So we're collecting your data. This is in third phase. Okay, we're developing this technology. This won't roll out day one, but it'll be it'll be in effect probably 18 months to 24 months.
Okay.
Once we have opened. Mm-hmm. But here it is. So you make the putt, and we're going to be able to know how far you are from the actual hole or whether you made it. Okay.
Three sensors. Yeah.
Okay. Now that data, all this data is being compiled and collected and put into a blockchain. Okay.
Okay.
Now, yeah. Okay. Now this.
So you can't lie.
No. You can.
Yeah, I guess
you
so.
Can. And we're not using microchips. We're using radars to be able to. So everything that moves, then we'll be able to track it, and it knows whether it's a ball or a dog or a person.
Okay.
And so, and we're using this data to create medical research on the back end. So Balanced Media Technology, which is my technology partner, they use all of their data to crowdsource to help medical situations. They have a video game, right? And all the mini games that we create will have a back end that helps a medical situation. So that's really, yeah, it's really neat.
I just want to hit a golf ball.
Yeah. Well, you're not gonna take part in that. You just have to play. And they use the data. And so they have a video game that they've designed now called 8-Cell that helps curve cancer. They have one that they built that helps curve macular eye disease. So they're very
that all this technology you can use into this golf scenario.
So we're leveraging the data that we're going to create and allowing them to compute it for medical research.
Will they pay you for that?
They're our partners.
They're your partners.
They're our partners.
Well, and you're creating a lot of technology for this. You're creating your own apps for this. But, and we've, oh my gosh, just a few minutes, Jeff's going to say, we've only got 3 minutes left.
Let's get back to
let me ask you this.
Oh, go ahead.
So you say it's going to be a lighted course at night, the three, how late will you be able to play? And
our goal right now is to stay open till 11 on the weekdays and 1 a.m. on the weekends.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so those hours aren't fixed yet. We want to make sure that we can drive the traffic during the weekday.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us where this is all going to be. Where are you going to be located?
So we're on the
Good
riverfront
question.
Right next to Margaritaville Casino and Resort. Basically we're in their parking lot, and we have a great friendship with them, and they've been very accommodating to us and have welcomed us into their community, and we're happy to have that.
It seems like there's getting to be a lot of synergy and a lot of cooperation between the East Bank District, the casinos, the boardwalks trying to bounce back in some ways. But I think you're going to bring a whole lot of livelihood to that area.
So we're this is the only place that it works in Shreveport-Bossier. It's the only place that you have enough exposure for this type of venue to work. That's why I'm building it on a landfill, because it's the only place that I could take that would work. And in this size market, we need the casino traffic to be able to leverage the amount of people that need to come to the facility.
Mm-hmm.
But the guys in the East Bank were so inspiring to me. I met them, 17 years ago when they were doing other things. They were, one of them was a sous chef and then became an executive chef. Mm-hmm. And I met him and we became friends. And I watched him go from nothing to building Bojack's Piro, Hurricane Alley.
Mm-hmm.
And through that journey, it was just very inspiring to me. And I told myself, once I started this, I'm gonna go bust, but I'm not giving up.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to the brink of being broke. I mean, real broke.
Well,
I bet. I mean, because this is, what is the cost of this undertaking?
So this development is $25 million.
Wow, that's a lot of French fries.
Yeah,
you would know.
So when we started with it, I'm thinking, you know, when I started with us, like about $3 million. I'm going to be able to do this on my own. I've got this. Now, when I started looking at land, and I was like, there's no way that, you know. And so a week later, I was at $8 million, and I was at $8 million for about a year. And I was like, well, even at $8 million, I only need a little bit to be able to do this. And then it grew to $15 million. And so when it got to that point, I needed to really seek, you know, advice, investment, and I had a capital partner that believed in me and came in and did a capital injection into the business. And I got with the BRF, the Entrepreneur Acceleration Program. And what they did for me was really organize my thought pattern. All the ideas were there, and I really didn't think they were going to accept me at first, because I says, hey man, people have tried to do this before. And he almost got up and walked away, and I says, I'm not them. I'm going to do this with or without you. And I think he was just basically testing me to see if, and he says, we're going to take, he called me back the next day and says, we're going to take you in. And
was that John George or who's that?
No, that was Dave Smith.
So BRF, just for catch people up, it's a business organization in Shreveport. It's trying to bring in and grow businesses in the area. And they've got this program that helps new businesses. I didn't know they had that kind of help.
So, you know, what they did was organize some things for me. They connected me with the type of people that you need to be connected with. Because the financial world, there's so many different aspects in doing this. And being able to go, they never produced any finances for me. Their angel fund didn't produce finances for me. But what they did is they gave me a lot of confidence. They helped me create a pro forma. They helped me create a vehicle for I could go talk to people. I never have had a problem talking to people.
That's no.
Yeah. And so, but they gave me the information I needed to walk into doors. And we went into several local banks, and every time I went in there, I got a little bit more information. And I figured out that I was not fishing in the right ponds, and it took me a while to get financed.
So what pond did you need to be fishing in?
A big one. A real big one.
Okay. That's right.
And so just the size of the banks that are here locally or just don't have an appetite for this type of investment. So we went to an unconventional non-bank lender at first, and then eventually got with a broker, and this broker walked me through the process. It was the best thing I could do, but learning how to get there was a business lesson in its own.
So that's good advice for anybody that wants to do something in the future, right?
Yeah, I will tell you this. If you have a good idea and you are in this community and you believe in yourself and you believe in the product that you're going to do, go see the Entrepreneur Acceleration Program. Go to the BRF and see what they can do for you. But I'll tell you this, they're looking for people that are going to put it all in. And so that was one of the things that I had to do, is I had to put it all in, and now we're sitting on a $25 million development.
So let's bring it back to that development. And so when are we going to see this? When are we going to be out hitting golf balls?
So we poured some concrete yesterday.
All right.
So that is a big feat. Going through the municipalities and all the environmentals to get to this point was almost $1 million.
Well, and you said you were on a landfill, so I can't imagine the cost. And the
So it's increased the cost of it, but it's going to be worth it in the long run. And the reason why is because when you come into Shreveport-Bossier, downtown Shreveport, mm-hmm. you're going to see it. It's going to be lit up like the Starship.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I say, it's right. It's in that area. You've got the casinos and right. the boardwalk, and then at the end, the gym is going to be the
Jason
golf.
Is, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
And the East Bank District. I mean, these guys have created a synergy that mm-hmm. really ignited me to do something.
Yeah.
And we're not just stopping here in Bossier City. We're creating a national brand. And okay. I have a team that I've put together that is second to none. Our director of golf, Mike Mitten, is he's got fingers all over the United States that we're looking at to get the expansion we need to become a national brand. What we have coming is going to be special, and it's going to be from our area here.
That's
homegrown
cool.
And we're going to show the world that that we know what we're doing.
I think you can get a lot of people excited with this.
Yeah, I'm excited.
There are everybody I talk to is ready for it. Mm-hmm. You better stay ready for it.
Yeah, because people can play the
knows how to play to the camera. I'll say that.
You know. So one more thing, though. So this kind of like when you hear these great entrepreneur stories, they always talk about the challenges of getting started. Like I can't think of the lady's name that started Spanx, but I think she went to like 40 banks and talked to all these different people. How many? You said
86.
You wasn't your first. You went to
86.
So
wow.
The number of rejections I had was 86. Now this includes the investors that I went to, and banks, and there was a lot of no's, but all through it, I had faith. You know, I'm a big believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I had faith that when He set me on this path, that it was going to happen, mm-hmm. and it was predestined to happen. And every step of the way, when I had that setback or that rejection, there was another door that opened, mm-hmm. and I started the process, and I knew that it was going to happen. So when I walked into a room, there wasn't any doubt whether it was going to happen or not.
Mm. Okay, we got just a couple minutes left. I want to ask you again, when are we going to be out hitting golf balls? I know you poured concrete, but...
So, the grand opening will be between the middle of May and the 1st of June...
This year?
Of 2025.
Oh, okay.
Of 2025.
Okay.
We'll have the facility complete mid to early April, but we... There's so much new technology that's going to go into this that we need time to test it. And we'll have some soft openings where we invite media, press, dignitaries, and allow the facility to run through.
That would be me, but not you.
Oh, yeah. So Jeff.
Small fries,
take
I don't
pictures,
know.
Jeff. Yeah. Bring me back some pictures, Jeff. Yeah. Some fresh fries. Yeah.
But there'll be a lot of testing. It'll be finished in the middle of April. I do want to say that our contractor is on point, doing a great job. Thank you, Mike Boggs, for stepping in and doing this. Thank you for the city of the Bossier. Thank you to the BRF. Thank you to my capital investors. And my whole team was really instrumental. My family, I love you. They were very instrumental in giving me the support I needed to get to this far. And to God be the glory in everything I do.
Well, that's awesome. Nice. I feel like we just had an Oscar presentation or something.
I like it. The music didn't even start. It was good.
Yeah.
All right, we've got to wrap this thing up. I mean, normally we ask how people can contact you or get involved, but, I mean, there's no involvement, right? I mean, they just need to show up and play once you're ready.
Yeah, so right now there's – just watch the build. It's being built. It's out there. We don't want anybody on the site. Mm-hmm. If you want to show your support, go to our Facebook page and like and share and follow us on Facebook so we can keep you up to date.
Four Aces Golf.
Chasing Aces Golf. And you guys are posting like as it grows. We're putting pictures in short videos, maybe.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of videos that we're curating. We haven't done much with it yet because we're just there's Yeah. We're just building.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's exciting.
It is exciting. And once we get some steel structure up there, there'll be a lot more to talk about. We have the golf course designers and builders coming in this next week. And so the construction of the course is going to be really cool to document. And we're just excited to be here, be a part of the community, and bring something that's going to bring some light on the city.
Yeah, I think this is a great idea. I think we'll get people excited about it, for sure.
Man, good stuff, John. So wonderful to meet you, Small Fries.
Come on, man.
Hey, man, thanks for being here. Appreciate
it. Thank you. Yeah.
Try to perk up next time.
Yeah.
All right. John Dudley from Chase and Aces Golf, right?
Yes, sir.
Chase and Aces Golf. Paul Reeser. I'm Jeff Bynum. You can watch Good to Know Shreveport Bossier wherever you get your podcasts. Have a good one, everybody.